The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
That's his job, is to talk for that long. I don't want to talk for an hour.
Nope.
On this podcast.
I don't like saying nothing.
I started already.
Oh, damn it.
You didn't say nothing bad.
Okay.
Rachel came home from magic class last night. That's what I was telling you.
That's a great sentence.
I know. And she's just beginning, but learning card tricks, and I was super high, and it pissed me off. Because she's showing me them, and I'm like, fuck. Like, I know you just learned this. I know somebody just showed this to you. So it's not like a secret that you've kept for your whole life. You just learned this.
Uh-huh.
But then there's one where, like, a couple of them I've figured out.
Really?
I'll see how she's doing them.
Which ones?
I don't even know how to describe it's a card trick where it's like, well, is this your card?
Okay.
And then you're like, yeah, it is. But I've seen how, like, oh, you're shuffling them. Like, I've seen some moves. But there's one that I'm like, God damn it, do it again right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's still, ugh. But that's why I'm not going to be stoned for this. I ate candy, but I'm not going to be high because I can't. I was too much of an idiot. Can't do it.
Yeah, you are kind of an idiot.
If I'm stoned?
Yeah.
Dumbest person in the world.
Yeah. Me too, man.
Dumb. I mean, not, oh boy, big surprise, but yeah. Just broken. Broken as fuck.
That's why I've never been able to, I've never been able to smoke before I go up.
Never.
I think I tried it once and totally bombed because I turned into a zombie. Like, I have no energy,
mm-hmm.
and my brain is 7 seconds behind my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, they're not,
like,
synced up.
I'll do it like once a year just to see if, like, I'm kind of in a weird giggly mood. Let's see if other people are in a weird giggly mood. It's never good. It's never beneficial.
And the problem, too, is in my mind, I'm having some of the funniest, most original comedic thoughts ever.
Oh, see? I don't get
But I can't articulate them. And to be honest, they're probably not that great, but I think, like, in my inner monologue is, oh, this is fucking hilarious. You got to tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
And by the time it comes out, it's like, what was I talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it just dissolves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why being, like, hanging out with people who are stoned and you're not, it's insufferable. It's the worst. I don't mind pot. Pot culture. Ugh. Uh-huh. People are about, like, 420 fucking...
Look at this picture of this nug. That's fucking stupid, says the guy who takes pictures of every meal.
I know. That's why I was like, Rachel's like, thanks for being patient with me while I'm watching her do her magic tricks. And I'm like, I spent all day watching YouTube videos of how to wheelie on a mountain bike.
Yeah.
So if you want to come home and try your magic, yeah, we can have this Peter Pan life going on. I'm all right. I'm fine with it. You learn magic. I'm learning how to wheelie, and well, that's it. And we'll die eventually, having lived our lives how we wanted. Isn't that the goal?
It's beautiful, man. Hey, going back to your previous statement, who's annoying to be around? If you yourself are sober, not drinking, not smoking, who's more annoying to be around? Drunk guy or high guy?
Drunk guy. High guy, you can navigate him into watching a movie.
Yeah. And you can tune him out.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what if we be quiet and really pay attention to this documentary? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Drunk guy, you're just babysitting.
Man, I used to hate drunk guy.
I was always drunk. I'm
before
still drunk
I ever drank because I had – I was doubling down in the sense that you're fucking annoying me and I'm going to be self-righteous about it because I've never been that guy.
Mm.
So before I drank, annoying drunk guy around me, I would just sometimes – I don't know if I ever got in fights about it, but like I had a real short fuse. And but now that I have been that guy, I'm like, all right, well, you shouldn't have, lightened up a little bit.
I still have a short fuse now. When did you start drinking?
25.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Took you a minute.
That being said, I don't get drunk often, but I am not going to pretend I haven't. But,
just every time we try to tape a live episode.
But even at my pretty drunkenness, I'm still self-aware enough to where I kind of know, hey, man, shut the fuck up a little bit, man, so you don't get on everybody's nerves.
I never knew that.
Really?
Yeah. I never knew that. I was a fucking dickhead forever.
But you were that guy before you got drunk that night. At what point in the night does that guy completely disappear, the self-awareness?
After the drinks.
I know, but it's a gradual thing. Like, you can't ever kind of stop or control it. You would just get drunk so quickly.
I would just keep drinking.
Uh-huh.
Drink's gone. Put another drink in there. There's no like, whoa, slow down. Have a water. Let's enjoy this. No. Put another one in there. If you feel good now, you're going to feel even better after the next one. Mm-hmm. And you do that until you throw up. It's not right.
Oh, man.
It's not right. What are we doing?
Oh, we're I'm going to A you right in the queue, Kyle.
Public questionings? I forgot how to get to the
public question.
I mean, I've eaten a handful of weed candies. I've had a handful of them.
Yes, we're having a hearing.
I don't know. We got to figure out how to get into the Boogie Monster Twitter account. There it is.
My weed candy tasted like a cigarette. That didn't even really make sense.
Because you smoked a joint.
Yeah. Oh, watch out.
A little bubbler.
Tennessee barking spider.
Little bubbler. A little bubbler.
Oh, man. That's farts are just funny, dude. Oh. That was funny on our trip a few weeks ago. Eventually, you stopped even announcing or apologizing for farts in the car. You just every 11 minutes, you just crack the window.
Man.
And it could bring it back up.
Yeah, and I got gout now because of how we were eating. I was fart. We went when we were at Rachel's aunt's house the other day where I met the wolf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I fart. I would just stand next to the wolf and fart.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Eventually, because somebody else, man, this dog stinks. I'm like, oh, cool. I can blame the dog. So I'd sit next to the dog and I was farting. And then Rachel's like, that's not like a dog story or whatever. It was, oh, man.
That's not like a dog story.
I was trying to find questions here and I started reading those and I read it out loud in the middle of what I was, my own thought.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Just calm down.
Yeah.
Simmer down there, Gowdy McGee.
Yeah, this is the old, we forgot, we don't have enough of our own material, so. Hey, this is what you're missing if you're not part of the Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah, they get this every month.
Get the Peabody Award ready.
Yeah, it's your Q&A. We haven't done one of these for the general public in quite a while, so figured what the hell. I like answering some of these questions. Well, let's get into it, Kyle. You guys listening, you know the drill. You understand.
Fire one off, buddy. We asked this a couple days ago.
Which one?
I said fire. Just
answer. Oh, I'm sorry. Mm. Well, I always like to make the first one. So Brendan Towand, is a Bigfoot fart better or worse than Kyle or Dave's farts? That's funny that we were just talking about farts. And I didn't know that would be the first question. So that's kind of weird, Kyle. It's a big fart. Big fart fart and a big fart fart and a big fart could fart. What's Bigfoot eating? He's eating a bunch of fucking elk.
I thought he was vegetarian.
No, he's killing the fucking shit out of some elks.
The Bigfoot from Harry and the Hendersons.
Ripping frowned the damn
on,
heads off.
Frowned on hunting.
He's this guy's an omnivore. Did I use that right? Omnivore, you eat anything.
Yeah. Just, you eat all of it.
I think he's eating a lot of fruit. Not fruits. He's not eating peaches, but
he's eating what's out there.
Berries. He's eating a lot of berries. A lot of plant life. But I think given the opportunity, an elk or a deer or a coyote. So I'm trying to reverse engineer the inner workings of his gastrointestinal system and figure out whether his farts would be bad.
I think, dude, if I think due to evolution, they're not, because you don't want them to, you don't want predators That's to true. Sense you.
Hey, speaking of which,
the animals don't have farts that would attract predators.
How is it that, like, I don't want to get too gross here, but my cats, my two stepsons, Harvey and Truman, sometimes they will just go in there to the litter box and just blow it up, like we all do. But they eat the same thing every day. So how is the output varying when the input is the exact same every day? You humans deal with some of that, because sometimes you eat salad and sometimes you eat Chinese buffet, and hey, you get what you earned.
They lick themselves clean.
What's that got to do with? I'm saying, like, how come sometimes they just go in there and just, it's awful? It's like, dude, but like, it's the same. They're eating the same thing every day.
Are you sure it's the same thing?
Well, I mean, they're being fed the same thing, and they live in an apartment. It's not like they're outdoor cats.
Maybe they're upset about eating the same thing every day. Does it sit out for a while? Our cat food would be old, crusty shit.
I don't know. Maybe I need to talk to a vet about that. I have some. I have my own Q&A. Bigfoot fart better or worse than I don't know. You would just think that a Bigfoot fart would be pretty gnarly.
I don't think he's got. I don't think they smell.
Can I pay you a compliment, Kyle? Your farts?
Yeah.
Not that bad.
It's a close range thing.
Yeah. Well, when we're in the car, that's pretty close range. And
that's why I would open the window.
Yeah, but still, that doesn't always work. You always get some sort of draft.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to make that same statement at your eulogy. I said your eulogy, but like,
that's,
I got confused.
Well, that's, you walk around like your shit don't stink. That was one of my mom's phrases. This guy walks around like he thinks his shit doesn't stink.
It's the boogie monster.
What a funny term for arrogance. Then you meet somebody who doesn't have a sense of smell, and they're just nice people. They're actually more self-conscious because they are lacking one of the senses.
Oh, man.
If you can't smell, you kind of can't taste really either, so you're kind of knocking out two of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
God, what are they having, the goddamn Husqvarna Lumberjack Olympics outside?
Husqvarna?
Yeah, Husqvarna.
I watched the Lumberjack Olympics.
Great chainsaw. It's a great weed eater.
Husqvarna.
That's what I used when I had a landscaping
sounds
company.
German.
At Husqvarna Weeders and Edgers.
German engineering?
Probably. Anyway, fire one off there, Kyle.
We don't have to do this.
No, let's do it, Kyle. Come on. Come on, you stupid piece of shit. Let's answer these fucking questions.
Wow, all right. Okay. I'm looking for a thing here.
Okay. I'll ask one then. I'm just going to pick one out of the goddamn rabbit. Dave.
What did you say?
I said, Dave, I know where to find the best pickles in Pittsburgh. If I brought some to your Pittsburgh show, would you eat some stranger pickles? Says Paul Markgraf. Markgraf?
Yeah.
Duh. Yes, I'll eat your fucking pickle, dude. I don't know why I'm being so hostile. I'm insulted that he has to ask me if I would. Yes, Paul, I would gladly eat your homemade pickles. Like I said before, I'd be so easy to poison. And hey, if anybody wants to poison me, fucking go for it, because that'd be a pretty rad way to die.
Would you guys ever do a JFK conspiracy episode? Bilderbergs, Rockefellers? Yes, though that seems like it involves much deeper research, Dave.
Oh, man, I'd love to do a JFK one, but, like, what am I going to bring to the table that hasn't already been – there's 1,000 documentaries.
Yeah, that's my thing. I feel like it's been picked apart pretty well.
Yeah, we can't add anything new to that other than to make it dumber. But I love that conspiracy. That case is fascinating. And if you think about it, too, like, what a horribly violent image – that Zapruder film. But even like from as long as I can remember, I've been looking at that thing on TV. I'd be 5 years old and just, hey, there's the president's head just exploded. Like, that's okay. Just graphic fucking head wound.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oof.
I mean, it's that's rough.
It was kind of like,
we've been desensitized to it. But like, if you watch that fucking thing, like his fucking head exploded in front of our eyes.
Yeah, we don't know anything about it. I mean, we know about him, but like part of his existence is him getting shot in the head. It's not, you know, we didn't know. I don't know. Compared to that, I don't know anything about his presidency. I mean, you hear about how the Cold War, how close they came to all that stuff.
Yeah.
And all the tabloid stories about him cheating on his wife and he was doped up all the time because he had super bad back problems.
Yeah.
That his brother being shot by Sirhan Sirhan. I think that maybe he was like a Manchurian candidate, like he got mind controlled.
Mm-hmm. That's right down here.
Oh, yeah. That was at the, it was right across from
Wilshire, right around there.
Yeah, what's the bar? The HMS Bounty. It's like right across from the HMS Bounty. The hotel's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But it was over there. Yeah, that's what I feel like that one's got so much out there. We'll just be doing a shitty book report on it.
Yeah. Just go watch one of the 1,000 documentaries.
Mario Gambino. I forgot. I have not been saying the names in these. I apologize.
That's a great name, Mario.
Mario Gambino. Ever thought of doing an episode on unsolved mysteries like the Tom and Should? And the lead masks case. I don't know what that is, so we should put that one in the roster.
Write that one down.
It's here.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Tamim Should.
Mario already wrote it down. Thanks, Mario. Sure, fine, whatever. Ask, what's the dumbest conspiracy theory you've ever heard? Oh, man. There's some real dumb ones. Well, hell, I'll fucking talk about this. We mentioned...
oh, hell.
We mentioned last week, we mentioned before, some guy took us out to Bloodsos to court us to try to yeah. I'm not going to say guy's name, but he wanted to do a, he wanted to, hey, you, Dave and Kyle, Boogie Monster TV show. I want to produce a TV show. We kind of, you know, we're like, yeah, okay. And, but like his go-to example, you know, that, how Katy Perry is supposed to be JonBenet Ramsey. Like, that just, come on, shit like that, where it's like.
What's that one?
Based on what? Based on, and I get that most of what we do here on the Boogie Monster is just outlandish. Okay.
Well, that's like, that's the Paul is Marilyn Manson Paul.
Yeah, just there, shit like that. Like, you know, just because.
Pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture conspiracy theories bore the shit out of me. Just because they're the most just flimsy. Like, at least some of the stuff there's.
Yeah, not like the Hollow Earth.
Things that could be interpreted as evidence.
JonBenet Ramsey, Katy Perry, bullshit. Anyway, did you know giants live underneath all the Walmarts in the United States and are waiting for World War III to emerge through the sporting goods section? And they're going to dominate with a series of discounted hockey sticks and tennis equipment? Gonna come out and roam the land.
Oh, God.
Covered in third-rate sports paraphernalia.
Yeah, so what's your point?
Drinking Powerades. I don't think they carry Gatorades at Walmart.
Dane Spencer asks, what's the best band name to come out of the podcast? I.e. Fucky Fucky Sex Fuck.
It's Sexy Sexy.
Sexy fuck, Sexy fuck. Fuck Fuck, yeah. Oh, man, you've had some good ones. The Mexican Wolf Boys.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I would encourage you to be Mexican if you're going to take that one on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's...
Montango Devil Possum.
Yeah.
I like that one. There's been a few. There's been a few.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping track of them.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, the artist John Brown, the guy who's made some like Boogie Monster comics.
Yeah, yeah.
That artwork's so good, by the way.
Yeah.
It's Kyle McNulty, I think, has been doing some of the stories. His buddy John Brown's the artist. John's apparently working on a new one. I saw a little sneak peek of it.
Ooh, nice.
Very, very cool.
Thanks,
shit.
Fellas.
But I remember in one of those Boogie Monster comics, either you or I had a CD case catalog.
Yeah.
With a bunch of burned CDs, and they all had the band names that we had.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, shit. There's plenty of them in there. Neither our brains aren't good.
Yeah.
Stunt Diabetic. Chris at Stunt Diabetic. This is a good one. Do you think Hitler had contact with Nordic aliens and was inspired to create his Aryan race from interactions with the alleged Nordics? This 2 and 2 is put together by the Hollow Earth episode and mentioning swastikas on flying crafts in the Hollow Earth. Ooh. That the most advanced, like Hitler was like, this is the best speed, because already they're like, you know, Aryan looking. Also, they're aliens. They got cool powers, and it's probably just from having a perfect race to humans.
What was the question?
Oh, God damn it, Dave. Do you think Hitler had contact with Nordic aliens and was inspired to create his Aryan race from interactions with the alleged Nordics?
Ooh.
And he's putting it also together by when we did the Hollow Earth episode, which, sure, that there were swastikas that were on flying crafts in the Hollow Earth.
Whoa.
That... Because there's still like, what's the, God damn it.
I like that idea.
The Fermi paradox, which is, hold on. So do you think that that's, but I thought the Nordic aliens were.
They're friendly.
Yeah, I thought they were kind. Yeah. Maybe they're, you'd think they would have an inherent sense that, oh, this guy's bad. Unless Hitler just, hey, guys. And then they didn't like, you know, he just was being nice to them.
What if Hitler was an alien?
Well, did a lot of meth for an alien.
What if, indeed? No, that's a good one, though. I like that.
Do you think Hitler had a micro penis? Remember that was the thing that came out?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Like, is that just like we're still trying to find things wrong? Like, what more do you have to find wrong with Hitler? Like, what more do you have to... Also, never ironed his shirts. I'm real wrinkly.
Yeah.
Like, what, like...
I don't know enough about
it. That just sounds like a kid that already got beat up on the playground. Like, you already beat up the bully, and somebody's always like, yeah, your dick's little. I'm like, he's already.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah. I don't know. Would that explain some of his complex? And I don't know enough about that.
I mean...
I really don't know anything about the psyche of having a tiny dick. The guy who just keeps, like... That's, this is all so foreign to me.
Couldn't relate. Can't just, even put myself in the shoes.
But no, seriously, I really don't know the psychology behind like what that might do to your psyche and your behavior. I mean, I'm sure it's not good. But I mean, does having a tiny wang make you a fucking megalomaniac?
Well,
fucking
look at all these other
serial killer.
Well, look at all these goblins that are like the incels, that's the term now.
Explain that to me, by the way. I can't keep up with all
this. It's just an unfucked dude.
An unfucked dude is
who
an incel?
Can't handle being an unfucked dude.
Okay, so that's what that means.
Just deal with it. Look at porn, jerk off, and get over your fucking self.
Yeah. Or try to look in the fucking mirror and make a few corrections and improvements.
Yeah. Get off the internet. Oh, you're awkward around women. Go on a dating site, for shit's sake. They're built. There's... I listen to Coast to Coast, which is filled with nutbags, and they got all the paranormal date, conspiracy theory date. Like, there's a dating site specifically for you, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
So go on there, crank a few off, get that out of your system, and just go out not trying to get fucked. Go out trying to meet people.
Yeah.
And stop acting, oh, God. These were all my friends.
Yeah.
I'm never going to meet anyone. I mean, nobody... shot anywhere up, but you know, the whole like, oh, they only like dickheads, they only like, well, guess what, a lot of times when I was confusing a dickhead was just a kid that had confidence, because that was unfamiliar to me.
Yeah,
you know, just just a stupid thing that's going on. How did I get to that? But Hitler,
oh yeah,
yeah.
But what? Here's the thing with all that. Like, I don't know. There, if you wanted to, any human trait could be labeled a disorder. We all struggle with shit. We all have a certain degree amount of social awkwardness. We all have a certain amount of low self-esteem. That's part of being a fucking human. And I know that everybody's is a little different. But like, how about you stop fucking complaining and just fucking nut up and try to improve your life somehow? At least attempt.
I think you find communities online where you just get your negative ideas about the world reinforced.
But this victim mentality,
men never going to make anyone.
Well, of course not with that shitty attitude.
But you go on, you find other people like, we're right and they're wrong. We are good people and they're wrong. We're being rejected for that. You're getting reinforced into a false world, which is Reddit, which is Twitter, which is all that shit. It's a false world. I have just been ignoring news, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just being in there like, the world sucks. Why, the world sucked because you watched TV or you went online and read about the world sucking? Or were you walking around today just doing your errands and decided it sucked?
Yeah.
Or did the day suck? Because you started what? Like, I would go on my phone in the morning and read news and be like annoyed the rest of the day. Like, be bummed out about the world the rest of the day. Well, guess what? I'm not changing the world, but I can stop reading the fucking news.
Yeah.
Stop going into these I am rejected. There's no better time to be a goddamn weirdo in this world.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to be a weirdo. Go to a fucking open mic. It's filled with them. Go to an open mic. Start making weird music. There's so many ways to express, instead of just being frustrated and bottling up. Oh, I don't know. I don't have answers.
No, but you got to do something. You got to try.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I remember. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 21 years old. And there was a lot of times like, oh man, I just can't. Like, no, because I was a fucking spaz. I was a drunk spaz. And there was times I'm like, oh yeah, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to babysit me. Women are more mature than you are at every point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a heterosexual man looking for a relationship, know that they're more mature than you. So the things you do to try to get attention just puts you even further behind them.
Yeah.
Just be a confident, nice guy. Fucking stop. And if you don't get laid, you don't get laid. But oh well.
Yes, that's the point. Just be a nice person.
Go to a sexual professional.
Or at least try to be a nice person.
Go to a professional sex worker to get that one, get your virginity out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
If that's such a huge roadblock and the thing that's still a stigma, the oldest profession in the world – just go get it out of the way. For me, that was a big thing. Like, oh, it's my virginity. This guy got to wait for this or I got to wait for that. And finally a stripper came along. I was like, I'm going to fuck you. I was like, all right, I guess this is how this goes down. Yeah. Yeah, it's not special. It's never going to be special.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess.
But Hitler had girlfriends.
Just try being a decent fucking human being and see what happens.
Great Mr. T song. Even Hitler had a girlfriend.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mr. T experience. Oh, okay. not I Pity the Fool was also saying he was sad about how even Hitler had a girlfriend. Well, I don't know where we go. Everybody's got their problems. Get offline. Go out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Walk around. Smell the flowers. Pet some dogs. You don't have to stop looking at a screen for all your answers.
Yeah. Daguerre Bear asked Dave, does Dave miss anything about living in a van now that he's indoors? You know, it's hard to explain.
It shouldn't be.
It's hard to explain life in a van. You know, I don't know. I'm too high for this, but
we shouldn't.
There's a few things. There's a sense of liberation and freedom that I miss. You know. Like just being able to go anywhere at any time and, you know, all that. And
you can still do that.
Yeah, I know. But no, for the most part, I'm super stoked to be out of it. There is, I don't know, what is it? Is there a syndrome for like if you're in prison but then you learn to love it, you know?
It's kind of a Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. There's a little bit of that of like, you know, like this sucks, but it was also like, well, it was again my decision. You know, didn't have to do it. I chose to do it, but there was at times of like, well, this sucks, but this is.
You got conditioned.
I got conditioned. That's why it really was. It sounds silly, but like, I was emotionally hurt when my first van got totaled, because that was like, that van was like more than just,
it's like your house burned,
a home. I mean, but it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like having a home and a pet all in one. Like, there was a certain like imaginary friend vibe to that van. I know that sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, because, you know, it's just, it's the vehicle, no pun intended, but for your struggle. It's your vessel that you're choosing to take this really impractical, stupid fucking idea and try to do something with it. And you know, I'm rambling, but
we're both rambling. Yeah. We got high and we shouldn't ever release this.
That's why this one's free.
True. The scientician, Ben Stevenson, says, have you guys ever given any thought to the idea that some conspiracies are themselves part of information warfare? And he sent us an article from the Dallas News about the Jade Helm exercises, all that stuff that goes down in Texas. And there, the article headline is, Russians spread misinformation on Jade Helm military exercise in Texas. Former CIA director says, yes, absolutely. That was that whole movie Mirage Men that you can get. It's about how the guy's whole job was to spread disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody thought they saw an alien and they were really testing a secret missile or aircraft, he would be like, no, you did see an alien. You're right. You should look into that. Mm-hmm. Could be extraterrestrials. But then it's the other way. If people thought they saw a secret test, you know, but they were working with aliens, maybe he came in there and said, no, it's a secret. It's a missile that we're testing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, to throw – so very much so, I think conspiracy theories can be created by the government.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, disinformation. Absolutely.
Yeah, disinformation just really throws a wrench in the socket. Like, because, you know, for the first 10 years that I started really looking at UFOs and studying that, you don't even think, oh, it could be something legit that's not what you think it is. Yeah. It's always just, what is it? Is it from space? But you never think of like, oh, no, that's a decoy.
Watching Rachel do magic stuff, and because she's learning it, I can kind of see through that, like, how wildly obvious it is right in front of you.
Yeah.
But you don't, because you're watching magic, you choose to believe the outcome the magician wants you to believe in.
Yeah.
And this article is about how I think we talked about Jade Helm. The military exercise in Texas, and this is the one that it was. This is the article saying, former CIA director Michael Hayden, I am summing this up, so I apologize if I skip over things. That it was in 2015 where people were freaking out about it, and he said that was an early example of Russian bots spreading misinformation in the United States. That got Russian bots, got the alt-right media all worked up that it was Obama trying to round up political dissidents. Remember, I think we tied that into the Walmart thing too. That's where they're going to round people up or something.
Yeah,
Walmart's.
Mm-hmm. They're going to turn closed Walmarts into concentration camps.
Yeah, and then this is why. Yeah, the governor had to call the National Guard to watch the exercise to make people seem calm. But now, in with what Ben Stevens is saying, I thought the idea that some conspiracies are just part of information warfare, maybe. It was true, and this is the former CIA director out there covering it up. Oh, no, it's always Russian bots doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so who knows? You can always add that, well, he wants you to think this, so he said this, but maybe actually wasn't. It's a slippery slope we've decided to entertain ourselves with here.
Josh asked Dave, you ever cook sous vide style? That's where you boil a steak in a bag. I have not, and I know there's probably more to it than that. I've watched videos on it, and apparently it's an amazing way to cook a steak, but I just have not gotten around to doing it. It's supposed to cook it perfectly even. You know, if you're trying to go medium or medium rare, it's going to be, you know, whatever that temperature is consistent throughout the whole thickness of the steak, whereas cooking it in a pan, you're going to have kind of a range. You know, variance in color there. But, yeah, it's supposed to be a good way to cook it. Also, Kyle and Dave, what's the hardest you've laughed in the last year? That's a good question. What's the hardest you've laughed?
Oh.
Man. I don't know in recent memory this year, but I've been asked this question before, and I think the hardest I've ever laughed, and I think I may have mentioned this here on the podcast, it's during Zach Galifianakis' special, Live at the Purple Onion, when they're doing these little vignettes, the B story about Seth Galifianakis, his twin brother. And then they interview Seth. And just that character alone is fucking hilarious because he nails – I don't know if this is widely known outside of the South, but in the South there is a character that is so much like Seth Galifianakis and also Dale Baskets on the show, just a more asshole version of Seth Galifianakis. But there's that character, and because Seth is from North Carolina, or Zach is from North Carolina, he's got the authenticity behind it. But just that Southern effeminate guy. Now, some of them are closet homosexuals or open homosexuals, but many of them are not. But they're very just feminine,
kind of fancy.
Yeah, and it's a stereotypical kind of cliche thing, but it's very just Southern and feminine. And some of the guys just aren't gay at all. That's just how I talk, and he nails that. Mm. But there's the scene where he asks Brian Unger, the host, if he's about to talk about something he doesn't really want to reveal. So he asks if they could hide his identity and change his voice to the robot voice. Mm-hmm. And then they do that. They put him in the shadow, and then they put that effect on his voice. And when he first hits those lines with that effect on his voice, I thought I was going to shit my pants. Because it's just something, well, I'm in the basement, and Zach's in the basement, and I walk down there. And I'm like, what is this, a chemistry set or something? And he's like, this is ecstasy. And I'm like, what's ecstasy? And he's like, ecstasy makes me a better dancer. Like, I thought I was going to shit my pants.
That was like, what was the, it was Serial. It was some other podcast, and it was the one set in Alabama or Louisiana.
Yeah, Serial, yeah. Oh, no, S-Town.
S-Town, kind of like that guy. I was just like, oh, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was very much, but I think he even admitted that he was bisexual or whatever.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. My point is there are some guys that speak very, very effeminate in the South that are just, no, I'm straight and three kids. What's the problem? Mm-hmm. And it's just, fancy talk. I thought you were going to say in that podcast, I laughed real hard in that podcast too, and I feel bad for laughing. And people who've heard the podcast, I'll just say that the one guy's cousin who got in a car or got shot in the head or something, who kept chiming in the background.
Oh, yeah. It's S-Town's a worthwhile listen. I feel like that if anybody's listened to this podcast, they've already made it to the quality ones, and S-Town's a quality series to listen to.
And not to make fun of people with that affliction, but just the comedic timing of it is what
killed me. It's not
affliction.
He got shot in the head.
Well, and now he has brain damage. And
yeah.
He's,
it's not like, the disease that he had. Like, he got shot in the head and he talks funny. Man.
Yeah. But just, uh-huh.
Yeah, he's thrown in. He's doing like a real awkward hype man type thing.
Yes. Oh, man.
I don't know. Rachel and we got good laughs around here all the time. She hit me in the head with a carrot the other day.
Oh, yeah?
And it was so loud. It was so loud. It was a mini carrot, but it hit.
Did she throw it at you or is it like a blunt object?
No, she was sitting over there, and I was laying on the couch, and I don't know, I smarted her off or something, and she just fucking chucked it. It was a little carrot, but the little fat ones, and it hit me dead on. Like, it hit the end, hit me in the middle of the head, and it was so loud in my head. Like, the acoustically, it hit me like hitting the center of a gong.
So, like, the business end, the thick end hit you square. Yeah.
And made such, like, a wood-on-wood knocking sound that she lost her shit. And I was trying to act mad, but I couldn't because it was hilarious. Yeah, we got good laughs.
Is that normal behavior? Does she typically throw food at you?
Yeah. Yeah, she gets a little rowdy.
So anything you want to talk about, buddy?
I get beat up a little bit.
You all right?
I get abused a little bit. I know my role around here.
Mm-hmm.
I know my place. Got the carrots thrown at me.
Man, Katie will sometimes punch me in the arm. Just, you know, like a donkey punch.
Yeah, she's
and God,
she's a sinewy woman.
Damn she's it. Light. She's got just like bony ass knuckles.
Yeah.
It's like getting punched by an old 30s style boxer.
That's what you're looking for, Dave. Mm. See, I didn't ask for any of this.
She's short and skinny, but she's strong.
But she's strong.
Her last kid come out sideways.
Come outside. She didn't scream or nothing. Get out there and help with them bags.
Then he spits tobacco, wipes his mouth, and tries to shake his hand.
She didn't scream or nothing. Right, baby, come out sideways.
Ain't nobody getting to Omaha on that train less than you're a hog or a cattle. Oh, what a great fucking movie.
Nick Gillett, Gillett, I don't know. At not Nick, whatever. Do you think aliens have listened to those records we sent into space? If so, do you think they like Mozart or Chuck Berry more? If it's Berry, do you think they are into water sports too?
Yeah.
I was doing that joke. That was the joke I was trying to make about the golden record.
Really?
Yeah, about how we put Chuck Berry on there.
Uh-huh.
Like the air. Wow, fuck. I did it for, a hot minute. I was obsessed with the idea of the golden record that already were past the idea of records.
Yeah. That's funny.
You know, they come back like, we got your record. Like, oh, man, I don't even have a record player. I don't know what that says.
That's a great point.
You know? But that, like, of all the stuff we put on, we put Chuck Berry, like the lack of foresight that Chuck Berry was just a piss demon.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is who you want us to know about?
He was a creepy dude, man.
Yeah, this fucking pervert, this is what you sent into space? Like, good for this Me Too movement and this vetting process that maybe we put out a volume two.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's that old argument, you know. Do you judge the artist for their personal transgressions? You know, Woody Allen or Chuck Berry, even Bill Cosby or whatever. Like, you know, how, you know, does that affect your enjoyment of their art?
That was the argument I was having with somebody else. Like, yeah, people like try to make these excuses like, oh, but they're artists, they're misunderstood people. Well, why can't fucking car mechanic be misunderstood?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, why are you letting football players get away mm-hmm. with everything, but anybody else, you'll burn them in the intersection?
I mean, it's a...
Which I side with burning everybody in the intersection. I'm not saying, let the mechanic go too because you're letting football players go. I'm like, no, take them all down.
No, but it's also the case of, like, if we look hard enough, I'll never be able to enjoy a song or a movie ever again. I mean, for example, I've mentioned before, I'm a big fan of classic country music.
Yeah.
But do I really want to go snooping around the personal lives of a bunch of bearded white dudes in the 50s and 60s in the South? Like,
yeah,
some people who I hold in, some artists who I hold in high regard, I'm sure were world-class pieces of shit. You know, in terms of their,
yeah,
you know, beliefs on certain social issues or whatever. And it's like, ugh, can I just not know about that and enjoy this stuff?
Well.
Or am I complicit by supporting, you know, shitheads? But like Chuck Berry fucking ruled. He was awesome. He invented rock and roll. But so am I now not supposed to enjoy his music
because
he
invented rock and roll, and then Elvis stole it. What does everybody blame everybody else for?
Well, I mean, yeah, essentially you could say that rock and roll started in no particular order with Elvis, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Those four people invented rock and roll. But yeah, I don't know the timeline as far as Chuck Berry versus Elvis or whatever, but he's one of the...
Was it Chuck Berry, Elvis,
Little Richard?
Little Richard.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Little Richard, I think, is the only one coming out of that kind of clean.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Lee Lewis. Scumbag. Yeah. Creep.
Yeah.
He married his 14-year-old cousin or 13-year-old, something like that. But yeah, so I think about that all the time, you know. But, you know, I mean, now it's like the most obvious is you're not really supposed to support Woody Allen. But some of those movies were great.
Yeah. Separating. I mean, I'm sure somebody that worked on the assembly line that put your car together was a fucking pedophile.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure... Everywhere else, the things that are in your home or the things that you use routinely have benefited from the efforts of a criminal
mm-hmm.
in some way or another. So, I don't know. It's just more public cases, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't. I got no. I got. Yeah. I don't know what to tell.
This is a good question, Ross H. Hockman. If you could live in any era of human history, when would it be and why? Be the most fun. Well, so you got to think too, like, you know, quality of life and disease and health issues. You know, I don't want to live in the Middle Ages and get the fucking plague.
Well, why? What are the parts about the Middle Ages were really enticing?
Well, I was just using that as an example. You know,
like to eat rotting meat
in any era you went to,
covered in your own filth.
In any era you go to, there's going to be, you know, some disadvantages in terms of quality of life.
I think the 80s would have been pretty fun.
Yeah. To be how old in the 80s? To be an adult? To be 40?
Being a teenager in the 80s.
Well, you're just off by one decade.
I know. It's because I just saw it. I thought my cousins were having fun. 80s movies seem fun. I you know what? I didn't think about that.
See, I think being a teen in the 70s, like when you're 15 and you were there from day one with Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and just.
Okay, so it'd be a musical.
Like,
thing.
Yeah, we're just. I, obviously, music for me, but just that type of culture and that, like, oh, shit's getting pretty rad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, okay. Man. See, if I was better about history, I would know more.
Mm hmm.
I mean, of course, yeah, it has to do different for different social and racial groups because it seems like, wow, I mean, the post-war elation of America that we see idealized, I mean, I'm not thinking about the civil rights movement and how terrible things were for the South and for blacks in America after World War II. I'm thinking about like, oh, people won a war and came back and it was this huge moment of growth for America that, you know, moving forward in the nuclear age and you want to talk about like all the UFO stuff and things that were going on in the 50s and that kind of sci-fi excitement, like the days of Hollywood back in the I don't know.
When I was a kid, I would look at it from a sports point of view.
Oh, okay.
I was a huge for some reason I got into like the history of baseball, like hardcore from early on. So like I was a huge Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle fan. And I used to think like, oh man, I wish I was 10 years old in the 50s when Mickey Mantle was playing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of being 10 years old in the 80s when Dale Murphy, they were great players in my childhood, but like it just they were much more romanticized.
Yeah, they're
like
they're great.
I wish I was around with Babe Ruth or Joe DiMaggio or Ty Cobb or
Yeah, I know. Well, it's only because of how I saw it through Indiana Jones movies. But the 40s always seemed cool. But it was like, no, it's World War II, man.
Yeah,
before World War II.
Yeah,
he was in between. Wasn't that it? That was they all took place before World War II, I believe.
Can tell you a secret.
All right.
Never seen any of those movies.
Are you shitting me right now, dude?
Never did.
You've never seen?
For some reason, when I was a kid, just that whole, the vibe just bored the shit out of me. It's like, this fucking nerd.
Adventure bored the shit out of me?
Not adventure, but just something about, I think, period piece adventure. I think when I was little, it's like, yeah, that's from the.
Oh, no, you know, I could see.
I think the period piece element. Where I was like,
but it's Indiana Jones.
Harrison Ford never did it for me. He was just always so boring to me.
I mean, I've never seen any of the Harry Potters or Lord of the Rings. I haven't read the books. I haven't seen the movies. Like, fantasy never did it for me.
But yeah, I never, that's one of those, I know that's a big movie and a big franchise to have never seen.
I want
to
sit you down with a fucking blunt and just have you watch.
I should do it now. Yeah, now I would be into it.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying
skip the Crystal Skull one.
Okay. Which is the first one?
That's Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and Last Crusade. They're all good.
Mm-hmm.
Middle one's a little loopy. Kate Capshaw's kind of insufferable during it. First one's the best. I would rate them Raiders of the Lost Ark, Last Crusade, Temple of Doom, and whatever that Crystal Skull fucking thing they tried to pass off on.
Now, what was in my peripheral, these all kind of seemed like maybe the same franchise when I was a kid. But then what was Romancing the Stone?
Romancing the Stone was an adventure movie that's very 80s.
Uh-huh.
Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner.
Uh-huh.
No. Yes? Hold on. I'm looking it up.
But yeah, as a kid in my peripheral, those seem very much the same.
And I was like, Danny DeVito that playing me the too. Criminal.
Oh, see, I would like that. I like that.
Oh, Romancing the Stone's great.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch
was it. Yes, Kathleen Turner. And she's, for anybody who doesn't know Romancing the Stone, I know because it's got the word romancing in it. It might turn you off. But Michael Douglas in the 80s, he was a badass dude. He could be whatever adventurer he wanted to be. I'm going to go even as far as throwing Captain Ron in the mix. If you want something a little more fun, a little more silly, but still want that
Kurt Russell.
That rakish charm of Kurt Russell.
Never saw that one.
I told that story on here before about how that was the cool weekend where everybody's going to see the movie Singles and the height of the grunge movement. Mm-hmm. And I made all my friends go see Captain Ron.
Yeah. Now, what's the premise of Captain Ron?
Martin Short and his family inherit a boat, and they have to go sail it back in the Caribbean, but they don't know how to sail a boat, so they hire Captain Ron to do it, and they get into some hijinks.
Okay.
Another along that genre, a long-lost John Cusack movie called Hot Pursuit. Which people always love their 80s John Cusack mm-hmm. movies. Nobody mentions Hot Pursuit. His girlfriend, you're going to love this, his girlfriend, they're in college, and he fails a test. So he's supposed to go on this big Caribbean vacation with his girlfriend and girlfriend's family on a boat throughout the Caribbean. But he has to stay late to retake the test. Otherwise, he can't go on the thing. Mm-hmm. So he gets a test, and he's got to pursue them throughout the Caribbean trying to catch up with them because she didn't know he couldn't make it, and he passed his test and he can go. Criminals that hijack the boat, the Stillers, Ben and Jerry.
Okay.
Father and son criminals. The Islander that helps John Cusack get through everything, Keith David.
Really?
Which, that's a guy who's I'm on board whenever he's in the mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about Men at Work.
Ton of 80s movies.
Yeah, Men at Work. That does not hold up.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith David is like the fun Islander that helps John Cusack get through things.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking I could go on about less.
I got to check that one out. Speaking of John Cusack, I've always been a fan of Joan Cusack. I feel like she's mm-hmm. underrated. Underrated old Joan.
Yeah, she's got a good range. She plays an uptight gal in the rock school rock.
Under the Radar Babe in that movie.
Under the Radar. That was a big...
Under the Radar Babe. Yeah, she's a total babe.
What's the Shakespearean... I don't know. Never read a Shakespeare.
No.
Not proud of it.
I've only read Shakespeare because of I think I had to in high school.
Oh, I thought you were just going to end with I've only read Shakespeare.
That's all I read.
I don't take it in. I don't ingest anything else. I only read Shakespeare. you guys, Anthony LaRussa. His Twitter handle is Alien Anth Farm. All right, funny. I like it. Hey guys, have you ever performed in a theater or venue that was haunted and saw anything paranormal while you were there? Also, a Boogie Monster tour of haunted or other creepy venues, clubs would be awesome. I agree on that second part. Booking a tour is kind of a pain in the ass, but I agree. Usually, a lot of old theaters, there's always some lore. And I think you have a lot of staff that's staying late in the theater cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever been backstage in a big theater or down where the orchestra pit is under the stage, mm-hmm. there are some creepy spots.
Mm-hmm.
It's already filled with folklore. So, yeah. I mean, shit, Neptune Theater had a good spooky vibe just in the...
Yeah, I was about to say.
The narrow staircases behind the stage.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell me anything. They didn't get anything.
I play this theater in Columbus, Mississippi. Called the Princess Theater, done it a few times. Real small town, real like old downtown. Like, oh, this used to be a thriving Main Street 50 years ago, but now it's not. But nice little theater. And they're supposed to, every time I go, there's like some new ghost story.
Yeah.
So and so saw something. And it is, it's creepy, you know?
Yeah, I still haven't, I've told my stories on here about Bobby Mackey's Music World, and it's not like I played there. She set up a show at Bobby Mackey's Music World. But I know Liars Club in Chicago, there was like an axe murder that happened in the upstairs green room office there that people think they see stuff. I don't know if I trust the bar staff.
Yeah.
You're tired and doped up and drunk. Well, I'm saying, or maybe more, because I always feel like when I'm drunk, like I don't care. Like I feel if a ghost was trying to haunt me, I wouldn't even get it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, eh, not now, ghost. But if I'm high, I'm like, everything's a ghost.
Man, I don't know if you noticed when we were leaving Neptune, they had all those chairs. You know, mm-hmm. It's a pretty big theater. You sold a lot of tickets. But all those chairs, and when we were leaving, there was just one lady stacking. Like, just, she had already mowed through like half of them.
Yeah.
But just, I was like, you got any help? Like, I felt like I should stop and help her.
I mean,
but like, she was like just hundreds and hundreds of chairs. Just, ugh.
That place seemed like they were giving a lot of people jobs. Like,
yeah, that staff was great. Kind of
like, your job is to clean up the charity, like getting people.
Yeah, the staff was great. But yeah, it just looked like about a 5-person job that she was doing by herself.
Yeah. But old theater, like venues are just, they're just set up for a good, especially when you get to be there when it's closing time mm-hmm. and it's not the lights for the show and it's not all set up with bustling energy. It's that just, any place that's normally centered around bustling energy of a crowd when it's empty has a vibe to it. Bars at night after they close. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Restaurants, anything like that where it's supposed to be the atmosphere, like the people in it is part of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
When that's not there, ooh, that's a good spooky vibe. Even if you don't believe in stuff, it's like just a creepy vibe.
Yeah. Well, and just a theater, for example. You take a theater, a 1,000-seater
mm-hmm.
that's been there for 50 years.
Yeah.
Think of all the nights of great live performance, how many experiences, mm-hmm. how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people who had a great night at that theater, you know?
Yeah.
And like just all that energy cumulative, you know?
I think you can charge up a location with energy like that. It's almost like cigarette smoke. It's almost like something that's going to linger around. You know, you could fill up a place with or negative energy. Not because I'm not saying like the vibe is negative. I've never gotten a negative vibe, but I've definitely got like a lot has happened.
Yeah. There's a pulse to it. There's
maybe that's the reason a spirit would want to stay around.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's still good vibes in the place.
Mm-hmm.
But just also the feeling you can get. I can't think of a specific example where I've gotten truly negative energy being somewhere. You know, obviously you get creeped out when you go to a mausoleum or a cemetery because you know what's there. But I've never had a neutral place where I'm like, ooh.
Huh. Yeah. I feel that way about hospitals. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
All the terrible things that have happened there. But every time I'm in a hospital, I'm just like, just something just thick.
Hospital's like an airport for your soul, man. Is that not as deep as I thought it was?
Justin Daniel Brooke asks, Hot Pockets, yes or no?
Sure.
Nope.
Really?
Not a fan of frozen microwavable food. To me, it's just the lowest form of food. You know, I'm not above eating it when I'm poor shit. And
I'm not picking them out now, but when I, you know, drunk snack?
Do a little more preparation.
Well, I don't do that, so.
I tell you what I do love, which is essentially a Hot Pocket, but a good homemade one. Jamaican meat pie.
It's Jamaican?
Jamaican meat pie. It's essentially, it's the exact same
thing. It's
an
Australian thing.
It's
meat pies.
Well, I think they have them too, obviously, but there's such a thing as a Jamaican meat pie. Am I saying, is it meat pie? Yeah, it's meat pie. I feel like I'm saying that wrong.
Calzone's just a Hot Pocket.
Meat pie.
No, you keep saying meat pie to yourself. I'll pick up now.
But people know what I'm talking about. It's a Jamaican Hot Pocket.
Makes it a Hot Pocket. Fuck me, man. You know when you're just like, man, I'm funny, and then you open your mouth, and you're like, I'm not. I'm glad. You have a set tonight. I don't. Mm-hmm. You're fucked. We are not funny. Woken Billy Jasinski. He's asking me, I'm a short dude, too. Can I just get away with stealing high toast drinks? What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know what that means either. What's a high toast drink?
I don't know. I'm going high toast drinks. Yeah, I'm confused as to what. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know what that means. I read it, and I'm like, oh, when I say it out loud, it'll make sense. It didn't.
Sawan Talwar, I'm sure I mispronounced that, but I'm sorry, I tried. You got any good Indian food recipes? Actually,
I just ate that masala sauce you brought over.
Just a couple weeks ago, I did that butter chicken. I was saying that was my first attempt at making Indian food. I love Indian food. I eat it a lot. Never made it just because I felt like, I don't know, there's a certain, at least with culinary stuff, there is a certain bit of like, all right, poser, just take it easy.
Like, yeah.
You know, is it not that like the culture appropriation, but just like I'm so – if I try to make this, it's going to be so unauthentic because I don't know anything about the culture, or, you know. So I've just always never
yeah. –
but then I just – one day I was like, well, it's just find a recipe.
Yeah. A whole culture didn't invent a meal. Like one person was like, this is good. And yeah. then somebody else in the village went like, oh, I did this, but I added this. And mm-hmm. then it grew.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah.
You don't stop eating a food because you made it to the border of that country.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think.
But I guess the same way, like I would be reluctant to go into business and like, even if I did master some of these dishes. Yeah. Like, you know, nobody wants this, some dumb white guy selling Indian food.
No, but if it's called Dave's Restaurant and you go in and it's called Dave's Take on Chicken Tikka Masala,
uh-huh. yeah.
that's fine. You're not opening up a place called, you know, the Golden Elephant House of Worship, and then it's still you like, hey, y'all, welcome to Golden Elephant House of Worship. Here's authentic chicken tikka masala. Like, it's like that's when you're like, all right,
yeah.
you know, you're wearing the outfits, but it's still you. Like, that's when it's too much. You can learn to make anything. You can learn, like, you know, play any kind of music you want,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to go all the way. That's the appropriation part. You can make the food.
Did you figure out what a high toast drink is?
Nah, man, I don't know what that guy's talking about.
Oh, man. I appreciate you trying to trick us.
Dr. Dirt Wizard says, how does Bigfoot fuck missionary doggy style reverse cowgirl? And if a Bigfoot is alone in the woods and horny, does it masturbate? Yeah, animals fucking rub. If it's easy to do, they're rubbing their dicks on things.
Okay, that's a great question. We've all seen the viral videos of the monkey mm-hmm. playing with his ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
But do animals do that for pleasure?
Yes.
Okay. Not like.
How do you do it?
Yes. Well, I'm saying. Are they smart enough to figure that out?
I always thought about animals fucking face to face. Seeing about the other week, like, what if that's how they want to do it, but they know they can't? So if you go to the zoo, they're like, oh, quick, they're looking, do it animal style. And I just picture like two cheetahs face to face.
But you think a dog can figure out how to jack himself off?
No, it's got paws. I'm just saying, it licks its fucking boner in front of you, man. Uh-huh. I don't know. Bigfoot fucks however he wants to feel, whatever the mood is.
Some fucker ESQ. What is that? Esquire ESQ? That's, you're an attorney? What is that? No, that movie with Denzel?
It means fancy.
Is that what it means, fancy?
Yeah, it's like a title.
What's the title mean?
I don't know. You read the question. I'll look it up.
Some fucker ESQ. What's the ideal pickled food? Man, I love pickled food.
It is a lawyer. You're right.
You like pickled food.
Young nobleman who in training for knighthood acted as an attendant to a knight. That's what
How do I say it? Do I say ESQ or do I say Esquire?
You say Esquire. Esquire. It is to a lawyer's surname. I didn't know that. It means you're a...
Yeah, that's why I said it.
Well, this one now, it says an unofficial title of respect having no precise significance.
Hmm.
Best pickled food?
I'm going to throw out this because I'm partial to this food. Okra. Pickled okra fucking rules.
Yeah.
Pickled eggs rule.
Pickled egg. Deviled pickled eggs. I love a deviled pickled eggs.
Yeah.
Man, if you just get a pickle right, though.
Yeah.
If you get... I've been trying to go – when I go and I'll get a jar of pickles pretty much every trip to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go through which are which. Best ones I've had have been those Krugerman ones I would get from – it's right by you now, Baller Hardware. Right up on Hyperion.
Baller Hardware sells
Baller
pickles.
Hardware. It's just a little, like one of the last little mom and pop, like, you know, if you can afford it, go to those places and support them before the Home Depots and mm-hmm. Lowe's put them out of business. But then they got a shelf of just Krugerman pickle products.
Well, I'm going by there.
You go get those, or, and I know I'm going big pickle on this one, Clausen.
I like Clausen.
Clausen, already Clausen. In the refrigerator ones.
Yep.
I think those are the crunchiest ones on the market, and I'm going to put crunchiness second behind flavor for a pickle.
I don't know.
Shit, I'll almost put it first.
Yeah.
I will eat a bland pickle that's crunchy as fuck versus a well-tasting pickle that's all like rubbery and unenthused in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, once
I'm waving my hand around with a lot of sass about that.
Once I discovered Clausen, like, I don't know why how anybody could eat a regular room temp store-bought pickle on the regular pickle aisle. I don't know how you could even eat those.
Yeah.
When there's Clausens right over there in the refrigerated
uh-huh.
section.
I'll slap that Vlasic out of your hand.
It's so superior to that. Now, yeah. I do love all the little small batch artisan. I love all that shit,
but
man.
But get it fucking crunch.
Crunchy. Man, good pickled okra. Man, pickled. I love pickled eggs so much.
Yeah, I tried a pickled pig's foot. That was not for me.
Yeah, pig feet's an acquired taste. I've had that a few times. It's very fatty and gelatinous and weird.
Yeah, I know. That's one of those foods, like, I tried it. I don't need to do that ever mm-hmm. again. You know? That's clearly, like, the food from someone's youth.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you didn't have options, so that's why you like this.
Yeah.
Which is that's how I hope the next generation would look at, like, a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, no, this is what – man, I love this. Like, I hope somebody – I hope a 12-year-old is just looking at that going, that's fucking disgusting.
That's our hard tack. We just had to eat it, and it lasts forever.
Yeah. I hope that's what the case is. Are you looking at it? Lost on contact, Chase? Worst heckler situation? Man, I don't know. I'm not even going to like give the guy credit, the fucking guy that was at the show in Bellingham. That was just a drunk dude.
Nerd.
No, I've told it before where the mascot for the college got on stage to try and Sandman me off.
Yeah.
I was bombing so bad, the guy in a Jaguar or whatever costume.
What'd you do?
He just put a chair down and sat behind me, and I just handed him the microphone, and he made this face like, well, like put his hands up like, well, I, you know, I can't talk because I'm in the costume. And I just looked in his eyes, which were actually in his mouth. But I looked at the costume's eyes, and I was like, yeah, you fucking can't say anything. And I walked off the stage.
I saw that joke coming, and it still cracked me up.
That was one of them. I've tried to... Oh, fucking... When I was in China, there was just two idiots in the front row. It's tough when you realize people are in the front row and they're just talking to each other and the rest of the crowd can't hear them, but that's all you hear. And it's mm-hmm. like, guys, and I try, like, I've learned her, like, oh, guys, come on, all right, let's. And these two drunk girls at a bookstore in fucking Beijing, where I finally had to be like, all right, listen, shut the fuck up. All I can do is hear you talk. You're right in front of me. Leave the show. And talk. They weren't Chinese. They were, mm-hmm. you know, English. I don't know if they're from England or where they were from in the world, but they were not Chinese people, not unfamiliar with the comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just two drunks being rude and not getting the point after shutting them down several times. Same thing when I was in Amsterdam. Two fucking, and I'm just name dropping places I've gotten to do stand up in. Let me tell you about it. Every time I'm traveling, I'm across the universe. But no, then that was, yeah, just a fucking drunk asshole. Like, get a clue.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about being a drunk person and not having any fucking yeah. clue, it's these people. They don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
Like, how many times do I have to engage with you where I'm saying, listen, I don't want to do this. This isn't fun. This isn't part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you again, just shut up.
Yeah.
Just be quiet. And
yeah.
when it still turns into whispering at your table, I don't give a fuck. I can hear you. And I'll ruin my own show to
yeah.
make sure your night, to make sure you are embarrassed by a crowd.
What is the mentality of that? Why? Why would you do that?
People don't know how to behave at a comedy show, which if you've never been to a comedy show, you might not realize. You can't just sit there and chit-chat through it. Treat it like a play, not like a concert.
Yeah.
That's a rule for a comedy show. If you've never been to a comedy show and you're unfamiliar, treat it like a play, not a fucking a music concert.
People really don't know that?
I don't know.
That just seems like such common fucking
sense. Well, that's why maybe in these plays that I've been to where I was doing it, they don't go to comedy often. So I'm like, I still try to treat it with some trepidation. If it's a comedy club and they're telling you, like, listen, don't talk, don't look at your fucking phone, they lay it out for you in the beginning.
But how about – okay, I get it. If you've never been to a comedy show and you don't get it, how about look around the fucking room and, hey, do you see anybody else fucking talking?
Yeah, yeah. But some people are
Some people
are still that dense.
I had to kick out a party of 10, a bachelorette party.
Fuck a bachelorette 10. Party. Fuck a
Dead Crow in Wilmington. I didn't want to do it because it disrupted the show. It was an incident trying to get 10 people to leave and also, hey, can you pay your tab real quick? But I gave them so many chances.
Yeah.
I just like so many chances. That's the thing too. Like if it gets to that point, I'm not a insult comic, bully comic.
No.
I'm not sit in the front row, enjoy the show. I'll never even fucking talk to you, you know? But that's the last thing I want to do is have to fuck up my rhythm, fuck up the show. But like at some point, it's like, what am I supposed to do? This is not going to end until they leave.
Anytime a comic's like, I was just interacting. You see how people were laughing though because I was interacting? Unless the comic is saying, hey, what's your name?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for a living?
Yeah.
And you can respond with appropriate answers. Your interruption is not welcome.
Yeah.
Unless it is a direct, not a rhetorical question. I feel like in addition to don't talk, put your cell phones away. By the way, a comedian may ask a question out loud. These are known as rhetorical questions. They don't require live answers from the audience. It's more of a pondering that the comedian will probably answer afterwards in the form of a punchline, you fucking dipshits.
Like that one lady on our tour. I forgot. It was in Spokane.
Oh.
You set up a joke somehow and then.
Oh, yeah. I was going to kick.
So what happened?
I was like, oh, yeah, I got kicked out of Canada. How did you get kicked out of Canada?
Yeah, I'm about to pay it off.
All right, lady. Well, hey, lucky for you, I have a 15-minute story about it, and it wasn't just a thought that I had.
How did you get kicked out of Canada? Yeah.
I'm
going to get to it.
It wasn't malicious.
I know. It wasn't malicious, but also just
so very,
think before you speak. Dan asked Dave, what's your favorite Clutch album? Oh, man, that's a tough one. Big Clutch fan. Man, I think it probably has to be a tie between their self-titled, 95 self-titled album, and Elephant Riders. Big fan of both of those albums.
Elephant Riders.
That self-titled's got a lot of... got a lot of Boogie Monster shit floating through those lyrics and stuff. Yeah, a lot of Men in Black, a lot of conspiracies, a lot of space. Yeah, man.
I like that. I like when bands like, all right, listen, we're just going to talk about goofball shit.
Yeah.
Because you're either political, or you talk about relationships, or you talk about whatever the fuck country songs talk about. Country songs are like when somebody tries to get one tattoo, but it wants everything in one tattoo.
Yeah.
I want my baby's footprints underneath my mom's tombstone, but it's also like but it's also the license plate of my favorite truck that my dad and I restored, and on the truck is airbrushed my dad's face. But like it's like melding in a Dale Earnhardt, and they're both holding Budweisers. Yeah, you talk about racial profiling, but man, whenever somebody puts on pop country when I get in a Lyft ride, I want to be like, my man.
Oh, it's the worst. No. Why would anybody listen to that?
No, my man.
Hot garbage.
No. Not for me.
That's why you need to listen to The Gravy Boat. We're the antidote to bro country.
Dave will set you straight.
Well, there's so much great country music out there. I don't know why you'd listen to fucking Florida Georgia Line. Jesus. I was going to say something mean, and then I realized that one of their contemporaries did die. Montgomery Gentry, I think. One of those guys passed away.
Montgomery Gentrification? Yeah,
they weren't nearly as bad as Florida Georgia Line. Rascal Flatts. Rascal Flatts. God
Is that a place? Rascal Flatts?
The fucking lamest dipshit.
Are they still?
Just the singer. I can't even get descriptive because I'll say mean things.
It's just bad. It's just unoriginal music. It's like when any hip hop is just the old, like that era of just like bragging about all your shit.
Yeah, just what are you doing? Get out of the way. Go sit down.
There's an audience for it out there for people that don't want to be challenged by their music.
Oh God,
that's why it exists.
Woo Brooks. A lot of E's there. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that there, Mr. Brooks or Mrs. What do you think of the Bigfoot Museum in Georgia? I went to that.
Yeah.
Up in, like, up near kind of.
Yeah, museums LJ, usually have Blue Ridge. Facts inside of them. What's at the Bigfoot Museum?
They got a Bigfoot turd. How about that? That's a fact. Big old long Bigfoot turd. I got a picture of it.
How is that a fact?
Hey, this is Bigfoot turd, man. Come on. It was cool, though. It's well done.
What's in it?
It's just, you know, they got a. It's probably like 8 or 10 different little rooms, and in each room there's like a different exhibit of, you know, this is the Patterson Gimlin, you know, a lot of videos playing, a lot of it's well done. It's a well put together museum. I enjoyed it. I really did.
There's my museum.
We
got one videotape and a fucking turd.
No, it's good. Like it really, like a lot of work and effort was put into it. Yeah. Now, can I say that any of it's factual? Well, maybe not, but I appreciate what they're trying to do. Cause you know, how often do you get to see, you know, how many Bigfoot museums are out there? You know, it's well done. It's on, right off the freeway, right off of 515 going up, around Cherry Log and Ella J up in that area, North Georgia.
All right. So that's what you thought of it. I haven't been there. I don't know. There's another one. Where is it? Maine?
I think there's one in Maine. Of course, there's one or two up there in Willow Creek. I passed through there. They were both closed when I was driving through there about a year ago. Dismembered feet washing ashore in Canada. I don't know anything about that. Got to look into that.
I think I was hearing about that.
I'd love dismembered feet.
Who said that?
That's a beef pounder.
It's a beef pounder.
Hey, that's my nickname. Oh, man. All right. What else? You got any more? You got any that pop out that you want to answer?
What's your favorite cheese? Dustin Morozinski.
Favorite cheese? Ooh. Now, do you mean cheese to eat alone as like I'm going to eat some cheese or cheese like on a sandwich or something?
Dog, I don't know, man. It's not that difficult.
If I'm just sitting down to eat some cheese.
Go on, categorize it if you need to.
Give me some brie. And a nice baguette.
Okay.
Love,
a little spreadable.
I like a little soft brie on a baguette.
Sure.
Big fan. Big fan of that. Uh-huh. I love cheddar and all that stuff, but that's stuff you get more in everyday life, day to day.
Manchego's been at the top of the charts around these parts.
You like
these
that
parts
Manchego?
Yeah. The lady brings home a lot of cheese. You know, yeah. That keto thing.
Yeah. I like some Manchego.
I like rank-ass cheese. I love Roquefort cheese, blue cheese. I like stank, crusty, make your eyes water cheese.
I like almost any cheese. You know what cheese I fucking hate? I've said this before and I'll say it again. I stand by it. Goat cheese. Goat cheese can fucking step in front of a bus.
Goat cheese is a complimentary flavor. It's really there as an accessory. It really makes beets shine.
I was thinking about this the other day when I was thinking about goat cheese. How come you never hear like pig cheese?
Pigs don't make milk.
Do pigs not make milk?
They don't have udders.
Do they not?
No.
Well, how do baby pigs eat?
They have nipples.
Oh, wait, huh?
Jesus Christ. Why did I even turn this recorder on today?
Oh, so the udders. But then you can make with the nipple milk. Wait.
I hate everything you're trying to
what are they
out right now.
You said they have nipples. What are they drinking when they're sucking on mama pig's nipple? That's not milk.
You're disgusting.
I'm serious.
They are, but fucking goats and cows have udders and they make more milk than regular animals.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't think you know either, dude.
I know I don't want to explore this with you anymore.
Oh, man.
That's the whole, isn't that the meet the fuckers thing?
Yeah, I have nipples.
Could you milk me?
Hmm.
You can get, yeah, but all right, man, just.
I got to look into that.
Yeah, you go, you do that.
I don't know. I'm done.
This podcast is an hour and 20 minutes too long. We're at an hour and 19 minutes right now.
All right, wrap it up. Pick out one more. Get in there and pick you one out, Kyle.
I'm looking. Some guy arguing with somebody else in here. I don't know. What's this guy? What's Paul Markgraf talking about?
What's he say?
Oh, he said, not a question, but you said, watch. Oh, I'm reading it. Even though it doesn't need to be on the Q&A. Hey, Paul, I'll tell you what's going to be on the Q&A. Your not question that you said shouldn't be on here, so deal with it, bro. He's saying you should watch An Honest Liar. It's about James Randi, and he's the magician that's offering $1 million to anyone that can prove that paranormal claims can prove paranormal. Psychics, anything. This has been going on for a long time.
Hmm.
James Randi, Amazing Randi, has had $1 million to anybody to prove to him that, like, they can bend spoons or do any of that kind of psychic stuff.
Wow.
And nobody succeeded yet.
Yeah, I mean, that shit's hard to prove, you know?
I'm more interested that this guy's arguing with somebody. There's a psychic arguing with him in this Twitter thread, and I can't access the Twitter thread, which is annoying me because I just want to read about the argument he's having with these people about... He's arguing with different psychics on this thing, and I can't read the tweets, and I'm angry. I want to know about, because, again, like, why would a psychic get in an argument? They would know they were about to argue with somebody.
Yeah.
So that's what's funny to me here. That's the part that I'm enjoying. Anyway, I haven't seen it. I don't know, man. Because all these people come out as fakes. Again, we were going to the D.B. Cooper thing. All these people come out as fakes. It's fun to trick people. I'm sure it's a psychic condition to trick people and dupe people. Normally you do it for financial gain or something.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, like, you still have to learn a skill to trick people that much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You still have to, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to find what a psychic's argument about their shit being not real.
Is there something in the psyche? Can something be said about the psyche of a magician, of a person who wants to just trick people all the time? Does that say something about you?
I think maybe there's a little bit of... I think there's a fashion. I think there's first a fascination with the craft, because all we're doing as comedians is the same thing, tricking somebody into thinking we just had that thought that night and it's a surprise. You know,
mm-hmm.
They know it's not. I know magic's not real, but trick mm-hmm. me and make me think it's real. You see a comedian trick me and make me think you're excited to tell this joke you've told 1,000 times.
Yeah, but there's a lot more to it than that.
No, there is, but I'm still like the psyche of watching versus watching comedy versus going, I want to do that.
But I'm saying a comedian, we're getting something out of the fact that we're making people laugh.
Yeah.
So what does that say about us as opposed to someone who's tricking people?
But it's not so much trickery as, like, you know it's magic and you're still entertaining somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You're still getting something out of it. Like, it's not, you know – that was that Seinfeld joke. I was still laughing about it. Like the smug, smarter than you thing that magicians have. Like,
yeah.
Here's a coin. Now it's gone. You're an idiot.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I think
it connected to like, oh, I like to feel like I'm smarter than everybody. I like to feel like I know how this works and they don't.
I mean, like, oh, you can be a know-it-all about any subject. Mm-hmm. It still takes skill. Like, you still want to make people enjoy what you're doing. If mm-hmm. you don't do that, then why would anybody give a shit about you?
That's true. So I guess entertainment is higher on the list than trickery.
Learning a skill that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a magician. I don't think it comes from like I just want to rip off people's thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Those people want to just be a criminal.
Yeah.
You know, I want to take advantage of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not taking advantage of somebody's trust. They're already you say you want to see a magic trick.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a good. It's a good one. I just I really wish I knew more about who you're arguing with on Twitter. It's the psychics on Twitter, which is a whole new world. Oh, this guy. Then they all have the same shit. They all have the header photo that's either tarot cards or a crystal ball, and then their profile pic is just a blurry thing of them. Really? Please send me some screenshots of that whole thing. I'm curious as to what went down with trying to sort out arguing with psychics on Twitter. All right. Well, we answered some questions.
Yeah, man. We did it.
We got high and we answered some questions.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep. That's right.
All right, buddy.
Sorry.
When's this? I don't know what's going on.
June 12th is today. What did I say last week? June 12th is the date of today. I don't know. Where are you at?
I'm nowhere, man.
You're nowhere?
Next week, I'll be in Buffalo and Chicago and Detroit with Britt Kreischer and Nate Bargatze and Sal Volcano. Volcano? I think Volcano. On that big old crazy theater tour.
Nice.
Which, yeah.
Well, that should be fun.
Yeah. You want to see a bunch of dudes who have nothing to worry about in the world? Come see that tour.
You going to take your shirt off like Bert does?
No.
It'd be funny if you just did all your sets. Hey, win in Rome.
I was wondering. I'm like, oh, man, is this going to be like we all got to do like his enthusiasm for life? And I'm like, man, I'm just going to fuck off after the shows. So I'm doing that.
Well, that's cool. This weekend, I'll be in Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room Comedy Club, 15th and 16th. St. Louis on the 17th at Southtown Pub. Milwaukee, I'm at Underground Collaborative on the 19th. 20th, I'm in Chicago at North Bar. 21st to the 24th, I'm at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. And then 25th in Pittsburgh at Ham Bones. 26th, Columbus, Ohio, Woodlands Taverns. And 27th, Cleveland. Hilarities, and then 29th and 30th, Wilmington, North Carolina, at Dead Crow. There you go. Those are all my dates. Got them in there.
That's forever. Dave's just out in the world forever.
Just out wandering. I got a quick dumb recipe if anybody wants it. Not a recipe per se. It's a meal that I've been trying to eat a lot of lately. I'm not going to pretend that I'm a disciplined eater. But I have been trying. I've been trying the fucking keto thing, trying to watch my carbs, and a good little fix for pasta. You know, that's one of the major culprits with carbs is pasta. That shit's make you fat as hell. But and this isn't anything new. But you know, now you can get the zucchini or the butternut squash spaghetti. Just they take zucchini or butternut squash and just
stand a real butternut.
Shred that shit up just like regular pasta. Just boil that shit in some water for about 5 minutes, and then you're gonna have your like you know it's well here's the thing about pasta, okay? Rarely am I going for flavor when it comes to the actual pasta. Actual pasta never tastes very good. It's a vehicle. It's a texture thing. It's a vehicle for sauce. So you're not losing a whole lot when you're doing the fake stuff with the zucchini or the squash. So just get you some of that shit.
Sauce.
Very, very few carbs. And then just get you whatever canned spaghetti sauce you like. Not canned, jarred spaghetti sauce you like. And doctor that shit up. If you don't want to take the time to make your homemade sauce or whatever, get you a good jar of Newman's Own or whatever, some Prego. But what I've been doing is I like to just get like the roasted garlic, nothing too fancy. But then I'll get some of those packaged like Italian sausages. I forgot the brand name. It's the same stuff that like you get like the chicken sausage or the andouille sausage or the whatever. But they also make like an Italian sausage. And it's already cooked. You just got to heat that shit up. So you don't even got to cook it. Just slice that shit up. Throw it in the saucepan that your jarred sauce is simmering in.
Mm.
fucking 5 minutes for the noodles, 5 minutes for the sauce and the sausage. Throw that shit together. Boom. It's a good, very low carb pasta fix. It's not bad.
Trying to do the vegetable thing. Miss sausages.
Yeah.
Summertime brats.
Oh, brats. Kielbasas.
Beer brats.
I love all kinds of
cheddar brats. I love the unnatural existence of a cheddar brat.
Yeah. Real Frankenstein shit.
Yeah. It's blood as cheese.
All right. Well, that's it. You know where to find us. We're on Twitter. We're everywhere. Whatever. Holler at your boys. I love you and the Lord loves you.
The Boogie Monster.